Coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the All Share down 1.2%, that with pressure being exerted by the Industrial 25 and Resources 10 spaces, losing 2.5% and 0.4% respectively. Financial 15, though, managing to buck the overall trend with its 0.25% climb today. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss Offshore. Viv, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So the JSE trading lower with global markets pretty mixed ahead of the US Fed's policy decision, while oil prices have stabilized after Saudi Arabia gave assurances about production. Are you sitting on tenterhooks too?
I am to a certain extent. I do think that this current Fed chairman is a bit more opaque than some of his predecessors, and therefore we don't quite get some of the clearer guidance we had in the past. Not as bad as Alan Greenspan, of course, but, you know, this is a bit more, you know, uncertain. Also, he's in a weird situation in which the economy is showing signs, but there's also some mixed signals out there about just how weak things are at the moment.
Yeah, and with that, the real question is whether they stick to the mid-cycle adjustment message and refuse to explicitly signal more cuts or give up that fight and acknowledge that an easing cycle is underway. I mean, that's the rhetoric the markets will be paying keen attention to. Of course, the Fed announcing on the eve of the South African Reserve Bank out with results, out with its decision tomorrow. We saw economic data filter through, CPI coming in higher at 4.3%. Retail sales are pretty tepid as well. Your expectations come tomorrow locally?
Yeah, look, I think in all honesty, we should probably have rate cuts going through. You know, we are below the 4.5% and we're well below the 6% target that we had previously. And we should be adjusting to that fact that the target has changed. I've said it for a couple of times so far, that the fact that you change the target by basically 1.5% and haven't really changed the rate to correspond with that is big, because it really means that the real interest rate now is quite a bit higher than it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, if inflation is 6, your interest rate is a couple percent higher, fine. Inflation is 4.5, you haven't adjusted, that effectively means you added a 1.5% to real interest rate. So that makes a big difference to the economy. And so the growth at the moment is very low. I don't think there's much fear of inflation at the moment. I do think that the fears around the Saudi thing has really calmed down. I think even Saudi Arabia is not keen on having a war with Iran at the moment, and they've come out and announced that quite clearly. So I don't think that's going to escalate. I think it's quite likely that they'll be able to push it onto the Yemenis as basically the drivers of this particular thing, and it might just disappear into the mists of time, like we did with, for instance, that journalist being killed by Saudi Arabia. In that scenario, I think things calm down quite a bit here.
In fact, so much so that oil price has been steadily declining, and we're only on day three.
Yeah, and I think that's hopefully the way to go. What I do fear is not so much the Iranian situation. I think it's a situation where I think this might indicate to other players in the region that, you know, it doesn't take that much to disrupt oil facilities, especially now that we have this new technology like drones. You need to get a whole team of people out there to blow things up. You have this drone, you have the radio control things. It might cause a lot more disruption to these kind of facilities, which are very vulnerable. I mean, oil is flammable. You just get a small explosion happening there, it could cause a much bigger bit of damage than, for instance, exploding into a dam or something. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that I think might be an issue going forward if this is a new technological thing. But I think the Iran thing is not something I think either Saudis or the Americans want to go into right now.
Yeah, Sasol is one of the players, of course, that's been impacted by the kind of activity we've seen on that oil price scene. Today coming through saying it's planning to sell its SA coal mining businesses. This has become somewhat of a trend now as we look at global fund managers looking to divest of unclean energy sources.
Yeah, I think it makes sense here. I don't think it's not as wise when you basically could have still been buying from them. I mean, it's basically saying, I need this stuff, but I'm not going to own it anymore. It might not be the smartest thing to do. It's much easier when you're like, you know, I don't want to be owning coal as part of my portfolio. But look, I do think that down the line, we are going to put a point where, you know, coal is getting more and more unpopular. But honestly, I don't think we are technologically at the point where that's viable for us at the moment. I mean, Germany tried something similar, you know, cut down on coal and cut down on nuclear. And basically, you know, it really is difficult right now with the current state of technology to go for the natural gas, unless you have natural gas in your region, or go for like renewables, quite frankly, not really viable. The US has been able to do it because the US has those shale gas, you know, operations that have really cut down their emissions. But if you don't have the gas available, you know, easily, It's very difficult in the current technological environment to actually get away from coal.
Absolutely. Well, we've had in the commodity space, gold managing to leverage nicely off safe haven appeal, those sitting in vogue amongst investors at this stage, and Pan African Resources out with results today showing the extent to which a higher gold price has helped it. Of course, it has come along with a bit of restructuring on its end that stripped out about 100,000 rand per kilogram in all sustaining costs. How are you feeling about Pan African Resources? Its shares have been trading higher, 58% higher, in fact, on a 12-month basis.
Yeah, look, I mean, quite frankly, when it comes down to these commodity companies, yes, they have the abilities to basically cut costs to some extent, but most of them operate very close to perfection in terms of efficiency anyway. I mean, they're not very far away. These miners know what they're doing. And often what really makes the difference is, like you said, the actual commodity price, which they have no control over. And I think that's been the case that we've seen with the gold miners. That's been the case we've seen with the iron ore producers out there. It's the fact of the matter is that they operate, you know, they might be able to reduce costs, but it's quite difficult. You know, they aren't very far away from where, like, you know, what's possible with technology and with the ore body and so on. There's some strategic things they can do, but overall they can't, except for cutting off production that's really unprofitable. But they, to a large extent, depend on what the commodity price is doing. And if gold price stays higher, buy into it. If it's coming down again, don't.
Very quickly, EOH dropping back today after saying it expects a headline loss per share of 973 cents from its continuing operations. This turnaround isn't going to filter through to the bottom line very quickly. Are you just steering clear of EOH right now, or have you found some buying opportunity?
Look, I say basically, whenever you see the first hint of basically unreliability about numbers, just don't go near it, because you don't know what the company's doing. You can't do site visits and understand what the company's doing. It's all about the numbers. You can't trust them, don't invest in them.
So what are you investing in?
Well, actually, I'm actually doing is not investing, but taking profits on my Rand trade. Last time I was here, I think it was around 15, 20 some change. I said long the Rand. Right now at about 14.60, you've made quite a bit of money. Get out. I'm not saying it's going to go weaker from here. I'm just saying I'm not as certain it's going to get stronger from here as I was before.
Let's leave it there. Viv, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Viv Govender is with Rand Swiss Offshore. What are you investing in?
Well, actually, I'm actually doing is not investing, but taking profits on my Rand trade. Last time I was here, I think it was around 15, 20 some change. I said long the Rand. Right now at about 14.60, you've made quite a bit of money. Get out. I'm not saying it's going to go weaker from here. I'm just saying I'm not as certain it's going to get stronger from here as I was before.
Let's leave it there. Viv, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Viv Govender is with Rand Swiss Offshore.